a limit on my time that you want me to be up here, sir. I want to go ahead and get started so that I don't disappoint any of you by holding you too long. Never mind, God, just I want to please you this morning. I'm here to serve God. I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments from this topic. Thy word is settled. Thy word is settled. And I want us this morning to understand something from God's word. And to understand that God's word is the final say in anything that has to do, especially in a religious manner, and life in general. That God's word is the final authority. But so often and so many times, we fail to realize and to recognize just how big God really is, and because of our neglect and because of our failure to honestly seek out what God is saying to us, we find ourselves listening to and believing so many things that is totally contrary to the word of God. And that causes so many of us to fall between the cracks. You see, if you like the Miami Heat, and I like the Golden State Warriors, it doesn't matter who you like. It doesn't matter who I like. When we're talking about sports, you can like whoever you want to like. I can like whomever I want to like. It does not matter. You may like okra, boiled, or dipped in batter and fried, however you may choose to like it. But I do not like okra. However you may prepare it, I do not like okra. But it doesn't matter, because when you're talking about eating, it doesn't matter what you like versus what I like. It has no bearing on anything but what you like, what you want to eat, or what I want to eat. I like watching car shows on TV. Look, politics. Animal shows, nature, home improvement shows, and all those. I like watching those kind of things. My wife likes watching Lifetime. Reality shows, and all that. So we go in separate rooms when we watch TV. But it doesn't matter. She can watch whatever she wants to watch. We have at least two TVs. That she can watch it. And I can watch what I want to watch, because it does not matter. You can like what you like. I can like what I like. You can eat what you want to eat. I can eat what I want to eat. I can watch what I want to watch. You can watch what you want to watch. It does not matter. It's your thing. Do what you want to do with it. It's your prerogative. It's my prerogative. But when it comes down to the word of God, that's a whole nother story. You, nor do I, have the right or the authority to make it to whatever it is that I want it to be. Because I don't have to say so in it. You don't have to say so in it. It's God's word, and God has the final say so about what his word means unto us. And he only has to say it one time for it to be authority. You know, that reminds me of a story I want to share with you this morning. It was this little old couple. You know, they came to worship service, kind of like we've done this morning. Then they came back to the evening service, kind of like we're going to do this evening. And after service, they decided, you know, we're going to go on us a little buggy ride. So they hitched up their little mule to the buggy, and here they go off down the old country road, just enjoying themselves, just riding on down the road. And while they were riding and enjoying themselves, that old mule just came to a dead halt, stopped right there in the middle of the road. Man looked at the old mule, said, "Giddy up, mule!" The old mule just stood there, like he didn't hear a thing. He said, "Giddy up, mule!" He still just stood there, wouldn't even move an inch. The man said, "Giddy up, mule," and that's one time. Old mule still just standing there. Old man reached back there in the back of the buggy and pulled out a shotgun. Woo! Shot that old mule in the head, that mule fell dead right down the street, just dead. And the wife just jumped all over her. "Honey, why you shoot that old mule? That old mule don't know what you're talking about. You know how to go shoot that old mule. That mule, you don't understand nothing you're saying. You gotta just..." He said, "Shut up, wife." And that's one time. She didn't say nothing else. God only has to say it one time. One time is enough. So he said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." That word "settled" means resolved, no dispute, in a matter, permanent, established. Close the book, cut the clock off, the game is over. It is absolutely settled. No one can change it. It is God's word, and he has to say so over what it means unto us. What you or I has to say does not matter. But what God has to say means all the world to us. So it would behoove us, it would do us much good to listen to what God has to say and do our very best to understand what it is that he is saying, and then to do our very best to be obedient to his word. The psalmist said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, I want to try to get to two areas this morning that I want us to look at if time permits. As to where God's word has been settled, and that we need to adhere to what God has said and then be about our business as trying to be obedient to the word of God. First of all, we want to look at singing. You know, singing is one of the areas concerning the church where man has veered all to a point that we have just lost our way, especially in the religious world. As to where we think that we can just come in and do it our old way and expect God to be pleasing with what we're doing, expecting God to accept our singing unto him and be pleased with our effort. But it doesn't work like that. God has instructed us on how he wants us to worship him, and worshiping him in song is one of the ways that he has specified for us and the way he has given us as to how he wants us to sing to him. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if we want to know what God is saying to us, or he has said to us, we need go no further than the word of God. Because the word of God explains and shares unto us what God wants and what God expects from us. We don't have to sit around and debate and grapple over the word of God as if they think that we are some big theologian that we can figure out God's word and tell God what it is that he wants us to do. God has said it, and it's fine. So he has told us within his word how he chapter 5, beginning at verse number 18, the Bible said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing it and making melody in your heart to the Lord." That's what the Bible says. That's what God's word says. It is settled. You can't change it. I can't change it. That's what God said, and that's what we got to obey. But if that's not enough, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 15 says this. "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." That's what the word of God said. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16 have this to say. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making grace in your heart to the Lord." Now, if somebody want to argue with me, you can have argue with me. But if you want to argue with the word of God, you just have it. Go ahead and see how far you get. See who wins that argument. Because God is not going to change his word just because you have some discrepancy with it. Just because you want to throw a guitar or a piano or organ or a cymbal or whatever it is you want to throw with it, you just go right ahead. God is not going to be backed down by you. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's the purpose of God's word. It's there to teach us, to admonish us. And that was what God had intention of it doing. And so he said his word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that which he sent it here to do. We are not going to change the course of God's word. So we might as well get used to what he's saying and equip ourselves to just obey the word of God in its plain and simple form and stop trying to outlive God's word and say what God means when we don't know. All we got to do is just accept what he says and then be obedient to it. In James chapter 5, in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song." God's word is what it is. God is not in the game of playing hide and seek with you. He's not trying to trick you. He's not trying to deceive you. He's not trying to steer you off in a way, or he's not trying to play, you know, what's behind the door. God is just straight up, and he tells us what he wants, and it's up to us whether we want to give what he asked for or we want to try to give him something else. But I would advise you, if you want to try to give him something else, go down and ask Nadab and Abihu about that first. Ask them how does God receive you trying to give him something or tell him what's good. Let's ask them about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." That's what God has given us. But you know, it's always those that's out there who want to challenge everything about what God has said and everything that you're trying to present about the Word of God. And one of the things that they always do when you talk about singing unto God is that they run over there and grab David. Well, David played the harp. David did this and David did that. First of all, you are not David. That's the first thing. And then secondly, what God does is his business. We got to be obedient to what God says do. So if you want the scriptures what God ever authorized the use of instrumental music for the purpose of worshiping him the way that he had inquired for us to worship him. Yeah, he permitted some things to go on. Like he permitted Moses to write the voice. But it never was so with God. Through the hardening of our heart, God would permit it. God would allow you to do anything this morning that you want to do that's contrary to his will. He's not going to hog tie you. If you so choose to do those things, God would allow you to do certain things. But God always tells us what he wants, and that's what he expects out of us. But let me show you one thing. Over in Genesis chapter 4, in verse number 21, the Bible says this. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and the organ. If you want to know who instrumented this thing of music, go to God's word. God's word has the answer for us. God allows us to do things, but God never did things that would be contrary to his will and ordered us to do things that would be contrary to his will. Never have and never will. But so many times, so many of us are not willing to accept what it is that God is saying in his word, and we want to go and take God's word and we want to analyze it and scrutinize it and do all these things to it and come up with our own opinion about what God is saying and what it is that we ought to be obeying. When our job is to be faithful to what God has said. Don't worry about what he didn't say. Just worry about what he said. If you do what he said, you will be fine. You don't have to worry about what he didn't say. If he didn't tell you not to do it, then maybe he didn't want you to do it. He's going to tell you what he wants. And you don't have to worry about what he didn't say. All we have to be concerned with is what he said. And if we want to know what he said, as Romans 10, verse 17 says, go to the book. Look in the book. The book is saying what God wants us to know. You know, but, you know, with music, that it's just so many people who want to take music, you know, and make it into what God wanted to be. God wants to hear from us. You know, I was talking to a guy at work about the music thing, singing. And he said, well, what's wrong with instruments? What's wrong with using instruments and stuff? I said, well, if you're going to have someone to sing for you, why not get someone to pray for you? Why not get someone to give for you? You know, why not get someone to do all these other things for you? If we're going to have a singing team, you know, I like to have a giving team. You know, you give on my behalf. You know, I just keep my, you know, quarters in my pocket. And if it's acceptable to God, you give on my behalf. You know, that'd be good. Give for me. You know, but no, when it comes down to giving, everybody understands that you got to do your part. So why can't we use that same kind of thinking, that same kind of understanding when we're talking about singing? Because that's what it is. God wants us. It's like God has made a covenant with each one of us individually. And each one of us individually has this responsibility to God according to the relationship and the covenant made between me and God. My obedience to God has nothing to do with your obedience. I got to secure my salvation. I can't depend upon you for my salvation. I got to make my calling and election sure. You have to do the same also. So I hope you follow me on this thing of singing, because, you know, there's some other things that we can say to it, but I want to get, really want to get to the next one, because the next one is one that that is settled with God. It is settled. And man cannot change. Man cannot change. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, the Bible said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Church is one of those things that the world is so divided on. It's so divided on. You know, I hate to keep bringing up work, but we're talking about that work in break room. You know, I'm trying to go in there and eat my little sandwich that I had right quick. But everybody want to attack me. Crutcher is in the Church of Christ. They believe they're the only one going to hell. Their church is the only one right. And I politely said, "No, we don't. We don't believe that. The Bible teaches that. If you want to know what we believe, go to the Bible. See what the Bible has to say about it. Because we believe what the Bible says. If you want to accuse me of something, accuse me of believing the Bible. I believe what's in the Bible." And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4, there is one body. There is one body. Colossians 1 and verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church." Christ is the head of the body. The body is the church, according to Colossians 1 and verse 18. He built it. He is the builder. He is the one that shed his blood for it. You didn't shed your blood for it. I didn't shed my blood for it. I didn't die upon the cross for it. You didn't die upon the cross for it. So how in the world are you going to come up and tell somebody what it all means? Christ is the one that gave his life upon the cross. Shed it, his blood. Not you and not I. He is the authority over what the church is. But someone say, "Brother Crutcher, are you saying that Christ has only one church?" As I said, that's not what I'm saying. That's what the scripture is saying. The psalmist say that it is settled. I don't have any say-so in the matter. You don't have any say-so in the matter. I'm just a reporter up here. I'm reporting what the scripture said. I'm reading back to you what the scripture is saying. But if that's not enough, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23, the Bible had this to say. "And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Now, I didn't say that. You seen it on the screen. I read it out of the Bible. I had nothing to do with how it got in there. As a matter of fact, it was in there when I came into the world. It was already here. I can't remove it. I didn't put it there. I can't remove it. I have no say-so in it. I read it. You read it with me on both sides. You, whatever way you look. We read it together. But if that's not enough, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12, the Bible said this. "For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also in Christ." You see, I stand up here. I got a lot of members. I got my fingers, I got my hand, I got my arm, my elbow, my eyes, my head, my feet, my toes, all the many members. I got a lot of members up here. But just one body. You just see one of me up here. Just one body. A lot of members. You know, then a lot of members. One me. One body. That's what he's saying here. That, and look at all you out there. A lot of members out there. One body. All of you in the one body. That's the word of God. I had nothing to do with it. If you got an argument with that,
Have at it. Go ahead. Have at it. You and God take that up. I have nothing to do with it. I'm the reporter here this morning. I'm just reporting what's in the book. It didn't come from me. I'm not that smart. I can't put all that together like that to make sense like that. It makes perfect sense to me. I couldn't have put that together like that. But that's not enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, the Bible says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. You notice all these times he keeps talking about the one. So, as my brother say, what is it about one that you don't understand? It's one. One is one. You can't get but one out of one. That's all it is. It's one. It's settled, brothers and sisters. What we say does not matter, but what God's word has said, it is settled. But still not enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 20. The Bible says, but now are they many members, yet, there it is again, one body. That's the word of God. That's what God is saying. It's not coming from me. But still not enough? Wow, y'all felt this morning. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse number 4. The Bible says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You know, my fingers don't have the same job my feet do. My eyes don't have the same job that my ears have. All these many members have different functions. But as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. That's what the scripture says. That's what God's word says. The psalmist says, thy word is settled in heaven. Someone say, that's a brother crutch. What are you saying that? That's just one body? Once again, I can't tell you. I'm not saying this. We're reading this in the scripture. Let me try this. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16. The Bible said this. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Oh, there's the church of Christ. The folks just flip when they hear that. But I say it. It's in the book. Read it. Turn it over that. If you don't believe the screen, open up your Bible. I hope you brought one today. You know, we get dependent on these screens. Sometimes it's not working. So continue to bring your Bible or your electronic with you so that you can keep check on these things. All whoever it is up here, check on them. Check behind them. Make sure what they're saying can be found in the book. That's why we've gotten so far off the track of God, because we have fallen in this trap where we just look at the man up there and whatever it is that he's saying, we just go along with it. You know, I asked the brother, the guy at work, I said, have you ever asked your preacher one question? You can't ask the preacher no questions. I don't know why you can't. Give me a number. I'll show you can ask him a question. I ask him for you. You can't ask him a question. And you ought to. If you can't find it in the book, you ought to be asking him a question. Why did you say what you said? Show me in the book, because I have not read that. Show me where you say that in the book. I want to see it. Ask. The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But you know, I still don't think everybody is quite convinced this morning. So I don't want anyone to leave here this morning still unsure or still unconvinced about the church. So let me try yet again to show you from scripture about the church. in Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible said, "And God spake all these things, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Now this was God speaking to his people. He had brought them out of a land where they had been in captivity for over 400 years by Pharaoh. And God finally heard their plea, and he decided to bring them out of their captivity. And then he went on to give Moses some commandments to give to his people. These people had been in captivity for over 400 years. And God brought them out of bondage. And one of the particular commandments that he gave unto them is found in Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse number 8. He said in verse number 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Remember the Sabbath day. He wanted the people of Israel, the people that had been there in captivity for over 400 years, he wanted them to remember the great thing that he had done on their behalf by bringing them from under this captivity, under this bondage of the Pharaoh, and delivering them out from under that bondage. So he gave them this day. He said, "I give you this Sabbath day to keep it holy." He said in verse 9, "6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day," remember that, "the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." In other words, we got Sunday, it's the first day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the Sabbath day. That was the Sabbath day. And our friends down the street there, they say that the Sabbath day is on Saturday, and that's the day they choose to worship on. They're right in that respect. The Sabbath day were on Saturday. It was the seventh day. So remember that. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." But what our friends down the street fail to do is keep on reading the Bible. They stop short of what God is saying to them. If you just keep on reading what the scriptures say, you can come to understand what it is God is saying. You're not going to just be one of those people where God just come up and just plant knowledge in your head. This day and time, you got to do a little bit of research. You got to do a little bit of study. You just can't sit on the couch and be all knowing. You got to do something. So he said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." He went on to give them other commandments, but he said, "Remember the Sabbath day." But if we fast forward on down to Leviticus chapter 23, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy, convocation, even these are my feet." Verse 3 says, "6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the rest." So he said, he confirmed that the seventh day was the Sabbath day. It was. That was the day that God had them to set aside to remember what he had done for them in delivering them out of the land of Egypt under the bondage of Pharaoh. So now drop on down to Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 15. The Bible said, "And ye shall count unto yourselves from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the shaft of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete." Now, we just counted earlier that from Sunday, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the 7 days landing on Saturday, which is the Sabbath. Then, so right here in the visit, he said, "Count unto yourself 7 Sabbaths." So, you got a little math background, though. So count unto yourself seven Sabbaths. Seven times seven is 49. Right? Am I right? I don't want to be missing. Seven times seven is 49. So you count 49 days. Seven Sabbaths. You're going to end up on Saturday again. Because you went seven Sabbaths. From Saturday, 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 Saturday. Seven times. You ended up on 49 again. Then he said, count 50 days from that seven Sabbath. He said, count 50 days from there. So if we just say, we're going to count seven more Sabbaths. So seven more Sabbaths going to end up on Saturday again. But he said, seven Sabbaths are 49 days. He said, count 50 days. So we're going to have to add one more day to that. So we count seven Sabbaths, we're going to end up on Sabbath. When we add that 50th day, he said, you shall offer up a new meat. A new meat. So, well, in other words, he said, things going to change. We're going to offer up a new meat. Count unto yourself seven Sabbaths from tomorrow, after the seventh Sabbath, from that day that thou brought the Sabbath, waving, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. So after we count those seven Sabbaths and add that one day, we're going to end up on Sunday, the first day of the week. He said, we're going to offer up a new meat. And guess what that new meat was? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is that new meat. Jump over there to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Begin at verse number 37. The Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. You see, they was gathered here. People from all parts of the earth. People from every part of the earth. And it just give you a list of all the nationality of people that were there on that day. And it said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. You remember when he said, count unto yourself seven Sabbaths, and then 50 days after that, and then you shall offer up a new meat? That's a promise by God. That was going to happen. That was settled. It was going to take place. So here in Acts chapter 2, it is taking place. It is being fulfilled. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That was the fulfillment of what was being said all the way back there. So don't come talking about this is a new thing. This is not a new thing. This is the plan that was in place from the beginning. This is the way it was going to be from the beginning. It's not a new thing. It's not something that Church of Christ folk have conjured up. But it was God's plan from the beginning. And all we have to do is look into God's word and see what his plan is and follow his plan, because his plan is settled and it is not going to change. That's what God has done. And if we want to be pleasing to God, if we want to have expectations of having an eternal life where we're not being tormented, then we got to live up to what God has said. Be obedient to God's word. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I didn't add nobody to the church. You haven't added nobody to the church. It said, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why is it that the Lord added? Because it's the Lord's church. He added those who have been obedient to what he has said. Now, we can conjure up all the things that we want, and we can say, I'm blessed and highly favored. all we want. But as Brother Montgomery taught us this morning in Bible class, if you're not doing what God said, it don't matter if you tote three Bibles around on your hip and can quote this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It is not going to do you any good. Because we got to be obedient to what God has said in His Word. The Lord add to the church daily, such be saved. So it ain't going to be no mistake. Ain't nobody going to get in there on a humbug. If you are in heaven, you will get there because you have been obedient to the Word of God. You're not going to wake up one morning and say, wow, this is beautiful. How did I get here? No, you're not. You're going to know that you're going to heaven because you have been obedient to the Word of God, and you're going to know that you miss heaven because you have been disobedient to the Word of God. You know, I heard a brother, what is his name? I can't even think of his name now. But anyway, he said this. He said he was talking to the guy about being obedient to the Word of God and being in the church. And all that stuff, and guys that holler, well, how you know that's right? What did he said? Well, just die. All you got to do, you're going to find out. When death come upon us, we will know our destiny. We ain't got to wait till God come back and bring the whole thing to a close. When we die, we are going to know our destiny for eternity. You know, like Brother Montgomery brought out this morning, said, some of them folks say, yeah, when you die, it's over. No, don't think it's over. It's not over. You just begun your eternity. So I hope I said something here this morning that may have helped someone or may have encouraged someone or may have given a little more information to us that we can use to talk to someone about the Word of God, but the thing that we got to know is God's Word itself. It's not going to change because you want it differently or I want it differently or someone else may want it differently. It's not going to change because someone in your family has gone on who wasn't a member of the church and you trying to uphold that. None of that. You got to save yourself. You got to make sure that you have been obedient to the point that you have done what God has required of us in His Word, and that you are able to say, that you are able and going to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And as Brother John always say once again, you're not going to hear him say, well done, unless you've done well. It is imperative. It is the most important thing in our lives that we be obedient to the Word of God. That we listen to what God's Word is saying and quit trying to analyze so much that, you know, we're the biggest analysts that ever been. We want to analyze this and analyze that. Take what God said and just be obedient to what the Word of God said, and we'll be all right. So if there's anyone here this morning who is not a child of God, this is an opportunity that God has given you. You're not here by accident. You're not here by happenstance. You are here because God decided to give you another opportunity to obey the Word of God. One day He's not going to do that, though. One day He's going to draw a line and say, this is all I get. I've given him or her as many opportunities, and if they hadn't responded in this length of time, God knows that you're probably not going to respond. So He's going to cut off the opportunity that He is giving you someday. And the reason why He's giving you these opportunities is because He believes that one day you're going to hear something said that's going to cause you to come to Him. He's keep giving you that opportunity. He got this love for you that He wants you to be saved. He wants all of us to be saved. But time will cease at some point. If you have not become a child of God, this is your opportunity. We may not see any time after this time this morning. So be about the business of God. Get things right between you and God. Let us walk out of here, all of us who are in here this morning who can hear the words that are coming out of my mouth, let all of us walk out of here this morning feeling good about our relationship with God. Not feeling good just because we want to feel good, but we feel good because we know that we have been in tune to his word and we have been trying to live by his standard. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's how you become a child of God. It's all in the book. You don't have to go lay your hand on no TV and pray a sinner's prayer, because you won't get nowhere with that. Listen to what the word of God says. Become a child of God today. If you're already a child of God, but for some reason, for whatever that reason is, you step outside of the safe zone of being in obedience with God. You also have been given this opportunity to make things right with God. All of us in here this morning have been given an opportunity to make our lives right with God. There may be some private thing going on with you that you need to just go to God with. You don't have to come up here. You don't have to verbalize it or whatever. But you do need to know that you need to go to God and make that thing right. Whatever our situation is, wherever we stand in our relationship with God, this is an opportunity that God has given us to make it right. And if we don't make it right this morning, and if God allows our time to run out on us, nobody's fault for mine. Nobody's fault for you. God has done what he said he was going to do. So whatever your situation is this morning, whatever your need is this morning, we're going to ask you as together we stand to make it known so that we can get these things right between us and God. Would you be standing?
At this time, let us focus our attention on another part of worship, which is the Lord's Supper.
Let us bow. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thanking you for your blessings. Thank you for giving your only begotten Son to come to this cruel world and give his life for us because he loves us. Father God, we ask you that you bless this bread. Bless each of us as we eat this bread, that we remember the suffering and pain that our Savior went through because he loved us. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another wonderful Lord's Day that you have blessed us with. Come and ask you to bless this cup we're about to take of, that represents your shed of blood as you hung on Calvary's cross. We pray, Lord, that we take it in a manner that be well pleasing and acceptable.